Good morning. Just to let you know ahead of time, this week when I was preparing for this message, I tried to trim it down, try to cut it down to like 6-7 pages. I really tried, but just to let you know, it's going to be a little long. If you need to go to the bathroom or something like that, you can go ahead, go upstairs, you know, and when you come back, you might find that we still have another 45 minutes or so to go. So just to let you know, it could be a little long. I'd like for you to turn to the Old Testament with me this morning to the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 47, subtitled, The River from the Temple. Okay? The River from the Temple. Ezekiel 47. I'm going to read from, verse 1 to about verse 12. It's a decent passage there. I'd like for you to follow along with me as I read it. Ezekiel chapter 47, the river from the temple. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows from the eastern region and goes down into Araba, which it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live whenever the river flows. There will be a large number of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from the En-Gedi to the En-Gilam. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing." I'd like to ask if you bow your heads with me. Lord Jesus, help us to see what your prophet Ezekiel saw on that day. Lord Jesus, you are the same God that is giving us, Lord, these revelations. And so, Lord Jesus, we have an advantage, Lord, that perhaps Ezekiel did not have. Lord, we have your complete works, your word in this Bible. We have your Holy Spirit of truth that lives inside of us. So, Lord Jesus, with these two combinations this morning, we ask that you would help us as a church, Lord, to see what your message for us today is. So, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would come and feed us this morning. In your name we pray, amen. Today I want to talk a lot about water. You know, our passage in Ezekiel 47 talks a lot about water. And there's a water that's flowing everywhere, it seems like. So if you could just imagine with me that we are all here. I know you're cold because I'm kind of cold. But let's just imagine for a moment that we're all soaking wet. Let's pretend that a great flood had just come across New York City. And then a lot of water is coming into this building from those doors behind Ted. The water is just coming in from both sides. And this water is not like the water from a destructive tsunami, not that kind of water. But the water that's coming in is a gentle, crystal clear, warm water, like it came straight from the Bahamas or something like that. It's the kind of water that just refreshes a city after a long drought. So in this chapel, imagine that there's water everywhere. That as the ushers come forward this morning, they were splashing water on their feet. They're getting you wet or even more wet. You know, kids are having a great time with this water. The adults, you know, they don't have to get up in the middle of service to go to the bathroom because, well, you know, there's water everywhere. I'll leave it at that. And so this worship service, you know, feels like one of those water theme parks at Disney, you know, that the Typhoon Lagoon or something like that. You know, as unrealistic as that sounds, that was the vision that God gave Ezekiel in our passage this morning. And it mentions that this man gives him this tour of the entire temple of God. But unlike a tour guide that just shows you the physical items, what Ezekiel was presented with was a spiritual view of God's grace flowing everywhere. You know, God's grace is often difficult to define, but we know from the scriptures that it is both general, as in everybody on the planet gets a bit of God's grace. We also know that it is specific. Like for each individual believer, God has a bit of grace that's given to you that's perhaps different from someone else or different from the person that's next to you. And so Ezekiel here is allowed to see this intangible grace of God in a very visual form, in this vision or in this dream. And so he saw it as a gushing river that was flowing from the temple area. And this was the same river that the disciple John saw in the island of Patmos. If you know that the last book in the book of Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verse 1, it says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb." But you know, the disciple John, he saw an earlier version of this river. You see, he was one of the few that were at the feet of the cross. That as he gazed up and saw his dying Savior, that he sees the person that he has called Lord for a couple of years, he saw that from his side there is a sudden flow of blood and water gushing out from this body of Jesus Christ. The flowing water is a representation of God's grace flowing out into the spiritual realm. And this is the visual image that God wanted Ezekiel to see. But you know, unlike a National Geographic documentary where it's nice pictures and then that's it, this tour of the temple comes with a message from God. And he wants Ezekiel and the Israelites and Grace Faith Church and all the other Christians that have ever read this passage to know something about his grace. So what does God want us to know about his grace? You know, you outlined there's a couple of things there. And there are three interesting facts that I'd like to share with you about what Ezekiel saw. The first one is that there is an abundance of grace. Verse 1 says that he saw this water coming from the threshold. Or in other words of putting it, it's from the base of this temple. And then Ezekiel was taken through first ankle-deep water. And then you look at verse 4. After traveling some distance, and I kind of looked this up, it's about maybe 3 football fields. And then after a certain distance, the water became, instead of ankle-deep, now it's knee-deep. And then after traveling another distance of maybe 3 football fields, he comes to water that is waist-deep. And then so eventually, as he arrives to this place where it is a raging river that no one could cross, And so this image is similar to what is written in Psalms 46, verse 4, that there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. You see, the idea behind this is that from the throne of God, grace flows downward and it flows abundantly everywhere. Because God is a gracious God. He is seeking you more than perhaps we are seeking him. And according to this vision of Ezekiel, God's grace is so abundant that it supplies the needs of many. Look at verse 9. It says that swarms of living creatures feed off of this great river. Verse 10 mentioned that there are many different kinds of fish that thrive in this river. In verse 12, we read about trees, many trees, thriving trees on both sides of the river because God's grace is so life-giving. Now, all this so that God can give us an image that his grace that flows from his throne is abundant. You know, consider how Jesus describes the Christian life, a life that's available for everyone. He says that whoever has will be given more, and he will have in abundance. Then we read in John 4 about the Samaritan woman who knows about God, but doesn't really know God personally. And so Jesus says, you know, the water I give him or her will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And so God wants Grace Faith people to know something here this morning, that his grace is there in abundance if only our hearts are open to it. Now, there's another interesting fact about what Ezekiel saw is that grace, or God's grace, always transforms. In verse 8, it points out that the river flows into the sea. And if you look at the footnote in your NIV Bible, you will discover that the sea that's referring to is referring to the Dead Sea, which we all know about. And the Dead Sea, as you know, it is known for a high degree of salinity. It is said that it is to be, it is 6 times or 8 times saltier than a typical ocean water. I mean, that's pretty salty. And it's so salty that no vegetation lives in it. Nothing can survive in it. There's no seaweed. Algae cannot grow in this kind of condition. And corals and the fishes, they cannot survive in this kind of water. So this body of water called the Dead Sea is because it's lifeless. But yet look at the miracle that happens when the river of grace flows into this salty sea. It transforms it into fresh, life-giving water. And verse 9 says that this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Whatever the river touches, it will transform and cause it to live. It transforms the Dead Sea into a sea of life. Now, if you think about it for a second here, you know, this does not happen in the natural world unless it's a miracle of some type from God. You see, you cannot just pour in gallons of fresh water and make salt water fresh. It doesn't work like that. It only becomes perhaps less and less salty, but the salt element is forever there. And so in a similar fashion, when God's grace touches a person's life, something transforms them supernaturally. It is beyond the natural explanation of things. See, that which is formerly lifeless and dead, now it is spiritually, it comes to life because of God's abundant grace. So even if you just come close to the river, you might just get a little bit wet indirectly from the moisture. Wherever the river flows, that's where life's going to be. I'm reminded of this truth when I was thinking about the outreach efforts in our community kits. God's grace, you know, flows in sometimes paths that are unpredictable. You know, a while back, Megan was looking for someone to volunteer for the middle of the week during the weekdays. And so there was a friend, a Christian friend, who introduced her to someone, a high school student. And then this high school student came, and this person introduced really another friend. You know, maybe he didn't want to commit too much into it, but anyway, he introduced us to another friend that came. And this friend that came, she is really one of our most faithful volunteers that comes from Brooklyn and goes, takes a subway every single day and comes and to help out with the kids for the homework. And she's not even Christian. And despite even her friends not wanting to do some of this stuff and helping out, she's determined to help out the church. And while she does come from a Buddhist family, she has a certain inner sense that there is more truth out there than what she knows. And recently she was asking Megan about, you know, why does it seem like, from her perspective as a high schooler, why does it seem like the Christians in her school hates gay people? You see, she has a lot of questions. She is seeking. And when she comes during the weekdays, not only is she helping kids with their homework, but she's also opening up her life to the Christians that are there. She's talking about her school, her direction, and her dreams of life. And at this particular point, she has not made a commitment to Christ yet, but her mind is opening up. You see what's happening there? God's grace is flowing near her. She might not be in the middle of the river of God's grace, but she is at the edge of it. That fresh water is starting to make contact with salt water. That God is in a process of perhaps transforming yet another mind towards him. It is amazing what God's grace can do for a heart that is open towards him. You know, at the same time, sad to say that there are many hearts that are not as open to God. And therefore, the flow of God's grace may just pass them right by. You know, we know that for a fact that God's grace is abundant. We know that. And that transforms deadness into life. But yet there are still many areas, many pockets, if you will, where it remains untouched by the flow of God's grace. I'd like to bring your attention to a small detail in verse 11. You see, while everything is made different through the life-giving force of this river, there are some areas that are left unchanged. And the Bible makes a point to mention that there are some of these swamps, that there are some of these marshes that will not become fresh. Yes, they hold water. Yes, it is wet, but they will not become fresh water. And I see this as, you know, church people who are wet because they have been exposed to the grace of God at some point in the past. They are not like the vast dry desert which have never even been close to the river of God's grace. They do possess some knowledge or some doctrine of God, but for some unknown reason, they are not feeding off this great river of grace. And it's a mystery to me, just like it is unknown exactly why Ezekiel was shown the marshes and the swamps. But it's a mystery to me. But the picture that you get is this, that while over here you got trees growing, thriving, not like the trees that you see on the BQE or the LIE, they're thriving, they're living. You see fishes jumping. You see creatures thriving and the salt water being made fresh. But yet there are spiritually some who remain unchanged. And it is stunning how verse 11 says it so clearly, that they will be left for salt. In other words, despite being exposed to grace at some point, their lives remain unchanged by the gospel. it is almost as if God was saying, you know what, if you do not want my flow of grace, everything around you will change except you. And you can hang out with people who are on fire for the Lord, but your heart may remain the same. That maybe, you know, if you attend a great church or go to a powerful conference or to an emotional missions trip, but that may not change you unless you openly, honestly seek God and want to have his mercy and grace into your life. You know, when God's people open their hearts to God, let me just describe to you how that looks like. Look at verse 9 with me. It says that swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. I mean, do you see it this morning? Wherever the river flows. And, you know, water sometimes it's not predictable. And that's what it's talking about this morning. That where God has placed you right now in your life, that is where God's grace is flowing. See, you are God's river people. That Grace Faith Church is a product of what is produced from that river that started from way back from the throne of God. And we receive grace from his throne, and it flows through us, and then now it flows out of us into all the different parts, wherever the river takes. And the command of the Great Commission, if you think about it, in essence, it's about us flowing out into dry lands. You know, these are the words of Jesus. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Do you see it now? Wherever the river flows, you are God's river people. Now, the last interesting fact here is that his people of grace flows into dry lands. You know, verse 8 tells us a little bit about geography here. It says that this river flows towards a region called Araba, which is really a vast desert wilderness. And so in this region, where the rainfall is less than 2 inches per year, and therefore, you can imagine that it is quite lifeless due to the lack of water. So spiritually speaking, you and I are surrounded by dry places, spiritually dry places that need God's grace. My brothers and sisters in the Lord today, I mean, let's not stop at just salvation. That yes, God's grace gives us salvation. That's great. That's part of the package. But let's not stop at salvation. Let's let God's grace flow into you and out to others. You know, Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him or her. You know, if you think about this, how can spiritually dry people come to Jesus to drink? I mean, how can the lifeless touch life? I mean, Jesus, he went up to heaven already. 2,000 years ago, that happened. What does Jesus mean by when he says, you know, come to me? You know, God is saying that you are his body, which others can be exposed to this living grace. That it was this body that was on the cross, that gushed out not only blood, but also water as well. And when it happened, it was a powerful foreshadowing of the things that were to come, that this was a symbolism. As he was on the cross, it was a symbolism that God's church is coming out in the future. That God's grace will be flooding his church and blessing the rest of this planet from the body of Christ. So together as a church, we ought to be flowing out grace for the last 75 years. You know, we see this as an example of the true mission of God's church. You know, the scripture reading this morning, it reminds us of that. where Jesus feeds the 5,000. It starts off with Jesus saying to the disciples, you know, come and have a quiet time with me. Come to the mountainside with me. Spend some time with me. That before you start giving away something you don't have, come and experience my grace in your personal relationship with me. You see, his grace can be many things, but it could be, I'll just describe to you some of them. It could be perhaps a strength that you receive from the Lord during a time of your personal weakness. Maybe it is a revelation that you have gotten from him during some confusing times of your life. Or maybe it's a spiritual gift that you have received. Maybe it's a certain passion that you have for Bible study or your quiet time. You're reading the Bible and the words just jump out and you start to understand things. Perhaps it's a passion for missions. Or maybe for music that ministers to others. Maybe your passion is for discipleship. Whatever God has personally given you, that's his grace poured into your life. And then Jesus says, you know, that he's going to put food into their hands, into the disciples' hands, so that they can put it in someone else's hand to consume. You see, that tells us that God's churches are people who take from God and then give it to others. That God's grace, therefore, is not something that we store up just for our own in-house use. You know, how would God be pleased if, let's say, Jesus does this miracle and he gives the disciple, you know, the food and the fish, and then the disciples take that and then they go home and stock up the basements with that? How would God be pleased? You know, what if they only gave it to their friends, the circle of friends? What if they gave it just to the loved ones, the family? Would God be pleased by that? You know, let me just give you some examples. Let me show you how it looks like when grace flows out from a church, from a people that belong to him. It is consistent with God's intent that we have this youth outreach. And this youth outreach flows out to some real dry hearts in Chinatown. That every single relationship built through the Saturday reading program is really grace flowing outward to people. God is delighted to have missions teams flowing out to spiritually dry lands. You know, several years ago, we had a drama team from this church perform the gospel in the very heart of Flushing, downtown Flushing. I want to talk about some residential area. I mean, look at this. This is downtown. They were embarrassed. You know, I mean, it was a lot of people there. It was something new for us. But it was our attempt to flow out what God has given us to others. And this is an example of God's grace flowing out into the dark masses of all the different people that walk past that library in Flushing. And with all the goods that we have just sent out, whether it's through the Father's Heart Ministry, okay, or through Operation Christmas Child, like yesterday or this particular weekend, those are one of many examples of God's river people in action. You see, when the church supports work in the poor in Cambodia, Grace Faith Church is flowing to the ends of the world, just like what Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says. And these are just some of the examples of God's river people flowing out. And I want to close with this thought. As we approach Thanksgiving this week, Thanksgiving reminds us that we are to be thankful to God. No surprise there. But I don't think it ends there. You see, God is thinking about more than just for us to eat up a storm and share about how good he's been to us. Like the early days of the pilgrims, they demonstrated their gratefulness to God by blessing others. They did so not just among their own people, you know, the people that they came from Europe with, but they reached out and they interacted and flowed out into the native Indians. So let me ask you this morning, as our 75th anniversary is coming closer and closer to us, and it's next week, what kind of church we ought to be after we have received the flow of God's grace for 75 years. 75 years of receiving God's grace flowing from his throne. I want to give you a few models to look at. I want to talk about a couple of bodies of water. And then I'm going to close, I promise. First is the reservoir. A reservoir is a place where, you know, water goes in, but doesn't go out. Reservoirs can hold millions upon millions of gallons of water, but not a drop escapes. The only time it goes out is when we consume the water ourselves. That's why it's a reservoir. And, you know, churches like that, perhaps they desire God's grace flowing into them, but then they're not that open into letting it flow out. And then there is an unfound fear that if you give, then you will have less. And there's a fear of losing what we have received from God as a gift anyway. They may have a form of godliness, but they deny the power that's in his promise. The promise that goes like, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And churches that are like the reservoirs can get very stagnant and kind of boring very quickly, because this is not what God had in mind for his church. That is not a body of water, the lake. A lake is a body of water where there is flowing in and there's flowing out. But the only thing is, the flow is very slow. Water flows in slowly, and water flows out slowly. So in some sense, it is better than a reservoir, but not a whole lot better. And churches like that have some degree of an outward flow of grace, but for the most part, it is half-hearted. There may be a lot of talk, but very little action. It is controlled flow. Just to be able to say that we are, you know, sharing God's grace to others, you know, with a few token expressions. So as a result, God flows a little bit of grace towards these churches because they know that God's grace flows out as a trickle as well. The next one is a well. A well is an interesting model because it is wet and it's not like the desert at all. But unlike the lake, it is tapped into an underground spring deep down inside. And deep down inside, it is cold, it is refreshing, it is limitless. And the spring water can do so much good if only people know where it is, this well. And assuming you could locate this well, once you get there, you still have to work to draw the water out of this well to enjoy it. And this well doesn't have an automatic pump so that the water can automatically go up there and for people to drink. People have to come, find it, and work hard to get to the water. You see, churches can possess good doctrine, but unless people flow out, no one's coming in. No one typically works hard to make their way into a church looking for God, unless there's a relationship that draws them here. I mean, why would people come to Grace Faith unless there was a reason for them to come? Just because there's a door in front of a building doesn't mean that people are going to come in. I have never met anybody that knocked on the doors middle of the week. May I speak to the pastor, please? I want to know about God's truth. Can you tell me more about God's truth? It hasn't happened yet. To be a fisher of men, very simply put, you have to throw out the net. You have to reach out. And so we are to be proactive in presenting God's grace. For the church to be like a self-service well is not consistent to the scriptures. Lastly, a river. A river is always moving. A river is always changing whatever the flow impacts. And water flows out as fast as water flows in. And you can't really tell where this river begins, and you can't tell where it ends. It just goes everywhere. It's like the Hudson River. it's difficult to say exactly at what point in upstate did it start, and then at what point does the Hudson River end? Does it end at Statue of Liberty? Does it end at this bridge? Does it end at this tunnel? You don't know where it ends. And likewise, for God's river people like you and I, you know, we flow out God's grace as fast as God gives it to us. That we become such an extension of Christ that people cannot tell where God started and where God ended. They only know that they have been touched by us as if God had touched them personally. You therefore truly become the body of Christ as God had intended. So I want to close just with this one question. What kind of church are we going to be in the future after 75 years of receiving God's grace? Let me pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, we praise you that you have made us into people who are soaking wet with your grace, that there is a river that runs through the threshold of this place called Grace Faith. Lord Jesus, I ask that your spirit will move us so, Lord, that we can perhaps move away from some of those models that I mentioned and to become the river people that you have intended us to be. That we would be, every single one of us, not just a certain portion or section or a small group of people from this church, but every one of us be part of that river that flows out life-giving grace towards whoever we're in contact with. Lord Jesus, I ask, Lord, that those are the things that we can look forward to in the future. Lord Jesus, we ask you for much grace. Lord, help us to give much grace as well. In your name we pray. Amen.